Turn with me in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 7. Revelation chapter 7, we'll read the first four verses. Now this is our second message on the topic of the 144,000. We're looking at an overview of their ministry at the end of the age. In our first message, we covered the chronology and exactly where we are as time unfolds during the end of the age. And we notice that in Revelation 6, the previous chapter here in verse 12, the sixth seal has been opened and the heavenly wonders have occurred. Those same heavenly wonders are pointed out by the Lord Jesus Christ in his chronological unfolding of the end of the age in Matthew 24 in verse 29. And there he says, after that great tribulation shall the sun be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. This is the same point in time he's showing us in that unfolding of the end. In answer to his disciples, he gives the answer and shows them that after the great tribulation, which is mentioned in verse 21 of Matthew 24, after that great tribulation, these signs occur in the heavens. Great signs darkening the earth. Stars shall fall from heaven. The moon will be darkened, of course, because its light source is the sun itself. The sun's darkened. The moon will not give her light. The stars shall fall from heaven. The powers of heaven shall be shaken. And there is an intermission. As you notice in Revelation 7, beginning in verse 1, it says, after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Our Father, we thank you for your precious word and the instruction we can receive as we study and view what is going to come to pass at the end of the age. And Lord, we pray this morning that you would enlighten our eyes and quicken our minds and give us the power of your Spirit to understand the truth, that the truth might set us free. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Revelation 7, 1 through 4 shows the sequence of events between the sixth seal, which was opened in Revelation 6:12, and the seventh seal, which is opened in Revelation 8, verse 1. So chapter 7, there are two major events occurring here. One is the sealing of the 144,000 from all the tribes, the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. The second event begins in verse 9 and goes through 17 and shows a great multitude in heaven, which is the result of the rapture, and these saints of all ages appear before the throne of God. Now we're looking at Revelation 7, 1 through 4, because there it shows that the angels who it was given to hurt the earth are delayed, are stopped from bringing judgment, which was announced in Revelation 6:17, the great day of his wrath has come. The judgment of God is about to occur. And here these angels are told by another angel that ascended from the east, having the seal of the living God. Those angels are told to delay, to stop. They need to seal these 144,000, for they are going to go through the day of the Lord, the wrath of God upon the earth. Revelation 9:4 points that out, as we covered in the message yesterday. So Revelation 9:4 says, it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. So these 144,000 being sealed here prior to the judgment of God, before the seventh seal is opened, which reveals God's judgment within the scroll that was given to Jesus by the Lord himself in Revelation chapter 5. So before this wrath occurs upon earth, the angels are delayed who are going to bring that wrath, initiated, sent from God to begin to judge the earth. They're told to stop and wait until they seal the 144,000. Now, in the message yesterday, message one, we covered a number of points showing exactly who these men are, not only who they are, but what is their spiritual condition. And we noticed that not only did God seal them for protection, but the seal can show a sign of ownership. God brings protection to these men as they will be present during the judgment of God. Their primary purpose, as described in Psalm 110, verse 3, is to be the priests unto God, carrying the testimony of Jesus Christ, being God's representatives, his mediators upon earth during the time that judgment falls. We also notice that there will be Gentiles and Jews who are saved during that period of time, which ends with the Battle of Armageddon. But here we are just before it begins. We're in the midst of the 70th week, according to this sequence given by the Lord Jesus. The abomination of desolation has occurred. The great tribulation is over. He says, after that tribulation, Matthew 24:29, and then begins God's judgment. But before the judgment, the sealing of the 144,000 and the rapture of the church as they appear in heaven in Revelation 7, verse 9 through 17. So that gives us an overview of where we are and what we covered yesterday, but what we want to look at today is the continuing evidence of these 144,000, who they are, their spiritual condition, and whether they're born again before they're sealed. Now, they're called servants of God. We covered the doulos word, the same word that Paul uses to identify himself, the same word that is spoken of as Jesus being God's servant in the book of Matthew. So this word, if that was the only proof, that would be plenty, because the text is what you analyze to find out what the Bible says. So they're called doulos, servants of God, before they are sealed. Now, there are three other groups who were sealed in the Bible, or actually who received a mark from God, not necessarily sealed, but they received a mark from God showing his approval, showing his ownership. And we covered the first two, Revelation 3:12, the church in Philadelphia. I guess that's the only one we covered. Yes, Revelation 3:12. And then there's another set of saints in Revelation 22, verse 3 and 4. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. This is talking about the Lord in heaven. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. Revelation 22, verse 3 and 4. Notice, these are glorified saints. They have the honored privilege of seeing the face of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they also will have the Lamb's name in their foreheads, similar to the 144,000. However, the 144,000 have both the Father's name and the name of the Lamb in their foreheads, according to Revelation 14, verse 1, showing that they have dual branches of servants, being servants of God the Father, while also physically serving on earth with the Lamb during the day of the Lord, according to Revelation 14, verses 1 through 5, Revelation 17, verse 14. In these two instances, Revelation 3 and Revelation 22, the overcomers of the church in Philadelphia and the servants in glory, they both have God's identification. They're clearly believers, fully redeemed, belonging to the Lord. So, in order for the Lord to put his name on men, it's evident by these passages that they are definitely children of God when they receive this inscription upon their foreheads. This sets a high standard by which to measure these 144,000, for they'll be given God's identification wherein they are still mere mortals. This underlines the significance of the Lord's signature upon them. He knows they'll be worthy of his name during their apocalyptic priesthood in the day and during the day of the Lord. The third example is in the Old Testament. It's in Ezekiel's vision of his book in chapter 9. I'll read Ezekiel 9, verse 4. And the Lord said unto him, Go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and that cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof. These men here in Ezekiel who are marked by God are those who openly express their disgust and sorrow over the sinful condition of Jerusalem. That demonstrates their allegiance to the Lord. They are God's people. They are given God's saving protection from the impending slaughter of his coming judgment, Ezekiel 9, verses 1 through 11. These marked saints in Ezekiel are very similar to the 144,000. Those who have his seal set in their foreheads in that day will also be spared from God's judgment, as we read in Revelation 9, verse 4. So, three examples, Revelation 3, Revelation 22, Ezekiel chapter 9, shows that those whom God marks are already children of God. They've been saved by the blood of the Lamb. These servants of God, these 144,000, are the same. They're servants before they're sealed. They have willingly surrendered themselves to the Lord to be sealed just prior to the day of the Lord. They have become mature believers before that time, being worthy to have the holy name of the Father and the Lamb written in their foreheads. So, the 144,000 in Revelation 4:3 will go on, and it tells us that they were redeemed from the earth, as we cover their qualifications and how Jesus, standing with them on Mount Zion there, his word shows us that they were redeemed from the earth. In this sentence, the word redeemed is a Greek participle, and it's in the perfect tense, indicating that their redemption has already taken place at a given point in the past, with continuing effect into the present. The act of redemption is not continuing, but the results of this past action of redemption, those results are continuing. The 144,000 are shown to be redeemed from the earth, redeemed from among men. These two phrases indicate, number one, where they are from, the earth. Number two, what they are. They're men from among men. They're not heavenly angelic beings. They are, in fact, men of like passions as we are, who God will raise up from across the planet, just as he has raised up his faithful servants throughout the history of mankind. Now, the second time the word redeemed appears in Revelation 14:4, it's a verb in the aorist tense, which indicates a completed action at one point in past time. The mood of this verb is passive, indicating that the act of redemption was not accomplished by those who were redeemed, but by someone else, namely the Lord himself. They are also entitled the first fruits, showing that they are the first of an additional, more of the same, Jews from the 12 tribes, a more of the same future harvest, who also will be redeemed from the earth, redeemed from among men. This oft-quoted verse specifies who those Jews are of this future harvest. When all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the Deliverer, the Redeemer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. Romans 11, verse 26. This future national redemption is the very event being celebrated in Revelation 14, verses 1 through 3, at the end of the 70th week of Daniel, Revelation 11, verse 15. In addition, there are other Jews who are saved and remain on earth after the rapture, besides these 144,000. The two witnesses of Revelation 11, they're saved, but their ministry lasts for 3.5 years, the full part of the second half of the 70th week of Daniel. And the woman, which is faithful Israel in Revelation 12, she also remains on earth. She's protected by God. She's in the wilderness, the place prepared by God, and she is on earth. They are saved people, saved Jews, till the end of the 70th week of Daniel, 3.5 years. They continue, these two, the two witnesses, the woman, and also the 144,000. They're seen being sealed just before the day of the Lord, but before the beginning of God's wrath. This timeline, as we've seen yesterday, is the Lord Jesus Christ's end of the age chronology, Matthew 24, verse 3 to 31. It shows the rapture, Matthew 24, 30, 31. It shortens the great tribulation, Matthew 24, 29, followed by the sign of the second coming of Christ and the impending day of the Lord. Now, the woman is also supernaturally protected, just as these 144,000. She's in the wilderness, a place prepared by God. She's nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent, Revelation 12, 14. And the two witnesses who were eventually killed by the beast and send up to the heaven after they shall have finished their testimony, Revelation 11, 7. However, they continue on earth after the rapture to fulfill God's designated purpose during their supernatural 3.5-year ministry as mighty instruments of the judgment of God. Read Revelation 11, 3 through 14, and you'll see that. Now, the Lord rejoices in showing his mercy, and these 144,000 servants of God will be his instruments of mercy during the end times as foretold in Daniel 11, 32 to 35, Daniel 12, verse 3, and verse 10. They're seen as those who have insight and understanding, instructing the many, being purged and purified during their redemption ministry as priests unto God. This group of saints in Daniel 11 also appear after the midpoint of Daniel's 70th week, after the abomination of desolation is set up. I'll read a lengthy passage here in the book of Daniel, beginning in chapter 11, verse 31. And arms, which means forces, shall stand on his, the Antichrist, part, and they shall pollute the sanctuary of strength, shall take away the daily sacrifice, they shall place the abomination that makes desolate. And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flatteries. But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. And they that understand among the people, the Jews, shall instruct many, yet they shall fall by the sword and by flame, by captivity and by spoil many days. And some of them understanding shall fall to try them and to purge and to make them white even to the time of the end. Because it is yet for a time appointed. The time of the end is the day of the Lord. So this length of time here after the great tribulation, or after the abomination of desolation starts, there's a length of time between that time, which is called the great tribulation, and the day of the Lord. These men, the 144,000 and others, there might be 150,000. There might be 160,000. It's unknown how many will be in the land in that day, but there will be many that are martyred. As it says here, they'll fall by the sword, by flame, by captivity, many days. They'll fall, they'll be purged to make them white. So at the appointed time, according to Daniel 11:35, at the appointed time, God will begin the end of the age. So, at the beginning of the 70th week, the many Jews, as according to Daniel 9:27, they'll confirm a covenant with the Antichrist. These Jews will be deceived. They won't have a clue that they are in fact consenting to a covenant with death, according to Isaiah 28, verse 15. That will eventually bring about their destruction. There will be those who are instructed by the 144,000 and others, those that understand among the people. They will turn many to righteousness, those that receive their Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, as their Savior. Here's Daniel chapter 12, verse 3. Here's what it says about those that are in the land prior to the judgment of God, but during the great tribulation. They that will be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Daniel 12, verse 3. Those Jews who continue on in darkness will eventually forsake the Holy Covenant, Daniel 11:30, taking the mark of the beast, Revelation 13, verse 17, during the time of Satan's great wrath, Revelation 12, verse 12. It's also referred to as great tribulation by the Lord Jesus, Matthew 24, 21. They will subsequently die during the day of the Lord's wrath. Listen to this from Zechariah chapter 13. And it shall come to pass that in all the land, says the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die. Zechariah 13, verse 8. The prophet continues, but the third part shall be left therein, and I will bring the third part through the fire, just like it says in Daniel, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name, and I will hear. I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God. Zechariah 13, 8b and verse 9. These of Zechariah's third part are those of Daniel's many who will be instructed by the 144,000 and others. The people that do know their God, they that understand among the people, they that be wise, they that turn many to righteousness. That's Daniel 11 and 12. After the abomination of desolation, at the midpoint of Daniel's 70th week, God has not yet sealed the 144,000, but they are among those in Israel referred to in these passages of Daniel. They'll successfully minister to the many unsaved. This same group of Jews is evident continuing in the land after the woman flees into the wilderness. Revelation 12, verse 17b. Here, I'll read that one. It says, and the dragon, that's Satan, was wroth with the woman, faithful Israel, and went to make war with the remnant, or the rest of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. The remnant of her seed indicated here refers to the rest of her physical seed, those Jews who remain in the land after the faithful, the majority, women, children, men too old to go to war, the majority of the faithful flee into the wilderness. These people, these men, young men, these 144,000, their spiritual credentials are given in the last part of Revelation 12, verse 17. First of all, their physical relationship, they're Jews, and then their spiritual condition. They keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. So they're born again. They know the Lord. These Jews who remain in the land, called the rest of her seed, will be these chosen men. According to Psalm 110, verse 3, listen to this verse. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power, which is the day of the Lord. In the beauties of holiness from the womb of the morning, thou hast the dew of thy young men. The dew referring to the multitude of young men who will be willing, who are dressed in garments as priests. These are those young men who minister during the time of the end. These are those priest warriors of the Messiah. They'll be part of the physical army of Israel, most likely. They defend the land against the Antichrist when he first enters Israel, when he makes war with the Jews, as described in the book of Micah, chapter 5, verses 4 through 9. There, those who remain are called the remnant of Jacob. Some of them will be martyred or taken captive by the Antichrist, Daniel 11, which we read. This refers to the duration of the Great Tribulation. Then it's cut short when the Lord Jesus comes to resurrect, when he comes to rapture and to rescue, receiving the saints into heaven, Matthew 24, 21 to 31, 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18, and then in Revelation 7, where we are today, verses 9 through 17. The 144,000, they'll continue into the day of the Lord, being purged and purified, eventually being made white and tried. It's at this point in time that the most prophesied event in Scripture begins, which is the great and dreadful day of the Lord, Malachi 4, verse 5. This event in God's program is also referred to as the end by the Lord, Matthew 24, verse 6 and verse 14. And the time of the end of days, by Daniel, Daniel 11:35 and Daniel 11:40, Daniel 12:4, Daniel 12:9, Daniel 12:13. They both indicate the very same point in time. It's on this day that God's prophetic time of the end program takes a major turn from the Antichrist's vicious persecution of God's people during the Great Tribulation to the Lord's second coming in glory. Listen to what 2 Thessalonians 2 verse 8 says according on this subject. And then shall that wicked one, the Antichrist, be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy. He'll render him powerless with the brightness of his coming. It's on this same day the sign of the second coming and the day of the Lord is given, Revelation 6 verse 12 through 17. This same day, the 144,000 are sealed, Revelation 7, 1 through 8. That's where we're at. And the Lord returns to rescue and receive his saints by rapture, receiving them into heaven, Revelation 7, 9 through 17. The Lord will first seal and secure his servants, the 144,000, before he rescues the saints. And then the sign of the day of the Lord is given as a marvelously heavenly prelude to it all. These events will all occur the same day, just as the Lord taught when he emphasized the same day rescue before retribution of God's judgment. Here's a lengthy passage. I'm going to read it in Luke 17, verse 24 through 30. For as the lightning that lightens out of one part unto heaven shines unto the other part unto heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day. But first he must suffer many things and be rejected of this generation. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the Son of Man. They ate, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, also as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Luke 17, verse 24 to 30. Paul describes this same time, just prior to the day of the Lord. He tells believers, but of the times and seasons, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 1, but of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they, the unsaved, shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, and they shall not escape. So it doesn't come as a thief to the believer, but it comes as a thief upon those who are lost. Although the Antichrist will come on his white horse at the end of the age as the end times world ruler, conquering and to conquer, taking peace from the earth, having a pair of balances, Revelation 6, 1 through 6, and in the process he'll implement worldwide economic control. There will be a time of peace and safety just prior to the day of the Lord when a business as usual attitude will prevail among the lost. That's what the Lord Jesus was describing there in Luke 17. It'll be business as usual. They ate, they planted, they bought, they sold. Things went on as normal. At this same time, though, persecution of the saints will reach its maximum level ever recorded in history. Then God will send his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to rescue, by rapture, the saints who have been sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise unto the day of redemption. That's Ephesians 1, verse 13, Ephesians 4, 30. Those whom he chooses to remain on earth will also be protected from his wrath, just as he promised. Revelation 3:10, Revelation 9:4, and in Revelation 12 it shows the faithful of Israel being protected. The 144,000, they're protected by having the name of the Father and the Lamb on their foreheads. While the faithful of Israel, they'll be safe in a place prepared by God, Revelation 12:6, during the last 3.5 years of the 70th week. Faithful Israel, the woman, she will fly into the wilderness, Revelation 12:14, and remain there until the end of the 70th week. Eventually, they will become the core group along with 144,000 and those of Israel who will be saved at the end of the 70th week. They'll populate the promised land during Christ's earthly 1,000-year rule called the millennium, Revelation 20, verses 1 through 10. God protects during judgment. It's similar to the time when he brought the plagues upon Egypt. The Israelites were given safety in the land of Goshen, while Moses and Aaron were actively confronting Pharaoh as the instruments of God's judgment. Like Moses and Aaron, the two witnesses will serve as God's instruments of judgment during this unparalleled period of destruction when God judges the earth and its inhabitants. This is called the Day of the Lord. It's described in Revelation 8 through 11, Revelation 15 through 19. While Moses and Aaron were the instruments of God's judgment to the lost and also the instruments of God's mercy to his people, the time of the end will see these same actions performed by the two witnesses, the judgment, and the 144,000 sons of Israel, that they will provide the mercy side. God will extend his eternal mercy to mankind through his 144,000 human instruments, just as he has done throughout the ages past. His primary purpose for the day of the Lord is to purge and purify his people Israel, those referred to in Daniel 9:27, Daniel 11:33 and 35, Daniel 12:3, Daniel 12:10. This time of the end purpose of God has also been foretold in other Old Testament prophecies. And so God is bringing to pass his end of the age plan for his people Israel, while he continues to purge and purify them during this time of judgment, which is also called the time of Jacob's trouble. We'll continue in our next message, message number 3, tomorrow. Our Father, we thank you for your great love. We thank you for your preparation of your people and how you are bringing things to pass here on earth, that you might cause the earth, those that you will call, to turn unto thee. And Lord, your act of redemption is not complete until every soul is saved that you will call. And so we praise you for that, and we thank you for your great love for us. And we pray that you'd use your word and teach us, that we might know the Lord Jesus, and through his precious blood we might be saved. In his name I pray. Amen.